Escape the Rigged Healthcare System by Dr. Charles Webb. Chapter 1, The Elephant in the Room. It was long past due. The pandemic had kept me from speaking on stage for nearly 24 months. Speaking has become a part of me. It's how I best serve others. There's nothing that inspires me more than moving an audience to open their thoughts to the possibilities that are in front of them. Nito Cubain, president of High Point University, entrepreneur and motivational speaker, said, "If you can show someone where they want to go, they will move heaven and earth to get there." Through years of speaking and consulting both patients and doctors, I discovered the truth in that statement. And now, after a long 24 months, I was about to prove this statement right again. I was ready to step back on the stage to empower a large gathering of physicians looking to improve their practice, their lives. Leading up to taking the stage, I had the opportunity to interact with many of the guests. What I found most enjoyable was listening to and observing their interactions with each other. "Hey, Dr. Kate, so good to see you. How's everything going?" "Oh, I can't complain. We're keeping busy. How about you?" "Same. Keeping busy, full schedule. You know how it goes." The words would vary from conversation to conversation, but the essence was the same. Everyone was busy, everything was good, and no one showed any sign of weakness or struggle. Does that sound familiar? It certainly does to me, as admittedly I too once proclaimed, "All is well," when all was not well. Understand, it's my job to listen. I hear every word, but more importantly, I listen to what is behind those words. Busy is one of those words that suggest things are anything but productive, and therefore seldom equates to success. It's that special word that counters further inquiry about how we are really doing. As I was mingling and observing, I couldn't help but see so many doctors with uncertainty in their eyes, anxiousness in their voices, and frustration in their body language. I had to wonder, was anybody else seeing this? Was no one willing to address the elephant in the room? It wasn't just there, of course. It plays out everywhere, from conferences to social media. Everyone is hiding behind the idea of success, wearing it like a mask to cover their true struggles and heartache. So right here, right now, at the very outset of this book, I want to pause and say something before you continue this journey with me. While you're here, you don't have to wear the mask of success. Because if you're like I once was, and like the majority of practitioners across the country are right now, things are not okay. As I walked up on stage to deliver my message, I performed my ritualistic visual sweep across my audience. What I saw didn't surprise me. Just from the looks on their faces and the way they slumped in their chairs, I could easily see a room full of frustrated doctors looking for answers to their current situation. The big elephant in the room I mentioned earlier, well, that's why everyone is wearing a mask. No one wants to acknowledge it for fear they're alone and their colleagues will see them differently than the successful doctor they portray. As a speaker, I have a job to do. And it starts with getting my audience's attention. To accomplish this, I chose to expose the elephant. Pay close attention to what I'm going to describe next, as this is exactly what you should be doing with your prospective patients. Remember Nito Cubain's quote, "If you can show them where they want to go, they will move heaven and earth to get there." Now, before I show them what they want, I must first show them where they are and the realm they're living in. Seldom can you expect to move someone into a long-term commitment just by helping them see their promised land, their hoped-for destination. No matter how magnificent this image looks, how it feels, and what it represents, most will first need to recognize their current realm, the desert they are living in. Simply put, they need to be called out to acknowledge that everything's not okay. Once they confess they've been getting up each day to live out a life that involves so many unacceptables. They're ready to let it go and commit to a better life. This is when you show them where they want to go. You see, the elephant in the room is this. Most everyone is living out a life of unacceptables. Unacceptables that in time somehow become justified. So the mask goes on, and we pretend that this is just how life goes. You just get used to it. Esav, chapter 2, the rigged model. I think I'm safe in assuming that no one went into healthcare with the hopes of being controlled by outsiders. Yet, in today's healthcare system, that's exactly what's happening. Insurance conglomerates, big pharma, and the government, let's call them the big three, have doctors and practitioners by a veritable stranglehold. Do what we say, they bellow, or get out of the way. With their combined Orwellian power, the big three have successfully manipulated the doctor-patient relationship to meet their ever-growing need for money with no respect for the people who need help, patients, and the people who willingly give it, you. For this reason, and others will explore, I call today's broken healthcare system the rigged model. The rigged model feeds on the principle that to be successful, you must see an ever greater number of patients, deliver more services, limit quality time with your patients, copiously justify your treatments, accept less compensation with no rhyme or reason, follow their rules to the letter or receive nothing, only treat sickness and never encourage wellness. I know that you've experienced this. You spend your days running from patient to patient, feverishly completing paperwork and jumping through other regulatory hoops that don't enhance your patient's outcomes or your business, only to look at the books at the end of the day and wonder how you can work so hard and make so little. Meanwhile, the big three rule supreme while everything else breaks around them. Broken physicians, broken practices, broken patients, broken lives. It's no wonder that today, more than ever, doctors are shutting their doors. It's not worth the hassle or the pain that comes with loss of control to appease the big three insiders. You probably know plenty of colleagues that have walked away. I know I do. I was once one of them. Although I achieved financial success, I overlooked the most important reasons I went into private practice. I found myself so busy earning a living that I missed out on precious moments with my daughter, Amanda. I never developed that daddy-daughter relationship that I should have because I allowed my business to suck the life out of me. In time, I lost my purpose. Chapter 3, what does a freedom practice look like? Before we can discuss what a freedom practice is, we've got to make a vastly important point. Your practice is a business. You are an entrepreneur, a healthpreneur, if you'd like. Before you'll ever have a practice that will help you leave the desert realm and disentangle yourself from the rigged model, you'll have to reckon with the fact that you must master business in the same way that you have mastered health and wellness. So let's talk about what a business should do. One, your business should work for you, not the other way around. Two, your business should have sustainable, constant growth. Three, your business should have predictable cash flow and profit. Four, your business should deliver a reliable end result. Five, your business should not act as a substitute for life, rather allow you the life you want. How many of those boxes does your practice currently check off? If the thought of running your practice like a business makes your palms sweat, it's not your fault. Whatever your medical training, your coursework never included business management, marketing, or leadership, let alone accounting or finance. Upon graduation, you were dropped into a world of business with comprehensive medical knowledge and a genuine desire to help people, but little else. That's where the freedom practice comes in. Using the model that I created for my own practice and refined through application in hundreds of practices worldwide, I created a business framework based on seven pillars of success. These seven pillars are what all the coaching we do here at Freedom Practice Coaching is based on. When followed correctly, they'll meet every business requirement from our earlier list. They create a business that works for you, a method for sustainable growth, predictable, scalable cash flow, less management overhead, over-the-top patient results and satisfaction, systems and processes that generate results, the time and space to enjoy your life outside of the office. Introducing the seven pillars. Before we dive in depth into the seven pillars, here's a quick overview so you can get an idea of the entire picture. Used together, these seven pillars work to create a freedom practice. I've seen these pillars transform practices in as little as 6 months. Just imagine what they could do for you. Number one, develop a positive mindset. The way you think about your problems and your attitude when you approach challenges, your mindset, can determine an outcome before you even start. It can set you up for success, or it can prime the pump for failure. Every highly successful doctor, entrepreneur, or business owner I've met or coached was a strong proponent of developing a confident leadership mindset and using it. So if you're serious about growth and changing your practice for the better, better patient outcomes, better profit margins, and better quality of life for you, embracing the right mindset has to be your first step. Number two, reinvent yourself as a category of one doctor. A category of one doctor differs from a commodity doctor. How so? A commodity doctor is a means to an end, a middleman that connects a patient with a treatment. Patients know that to get certain treatments, they see certain doctors. People with acne who want a prescription for Accutane see a dermatologist. People with thyroid problems who want a prescription for Levoxil see an endocrinologist. From the patient's perspective, who the doctor is doesn't matter as long as they connect the patient with the right products and services. They're interchangeable. A category of one doctor stands out from the crowd. Seeing one of these doctors is not about the treatments. Their value doesn't rest in their services or products. Instead, their value comes in their key focus, guiding patients to a hoped-for health destination. In this case, who the doctor is highly important. Number three, create your ideal patient. Have you been led to believe that if you become the best doctor in your community, new patients will flock to your door? Our FPC experience argues otherwise. New patients seldom come in droves. And many who come may be interested in you for the wrong reasons. So, how do you attract new patients for the right reasons? You start by deciding who you want to help, then marketing specifically to them through what we call pre-education. Using live in-person talks, webinars, or something similar, you present to your prospective patients a different model, one that focuses on taking control of their health and, in time, reaching their health destination. You'll find this approach is well accepted amongst the masses who have come to recognize that the current healthcare system offers little more than management of disease. Why would anyone want to pay with their hard-earned money for managing their condition? Quite frankly, they don't. This is exactly why the misconception of people just don't want to pay for their health care is so prevalent amongst physicians and other health care providers. Just because someone doesn't see the value in what you offer as a provider doesn't mean they don't value their health. In fact, when they find someone, whether a physician, a nurse, a dietitian, or a personal trainer, that acts as more than their diagnostician or provider of services, but acts as their trusted mentor who can guide them down their path to optimal health, they gladly invest in themselves. When they understand exactly who you are, how you're different, and what you can do for them, you'll be able to fill your calendar with informed, motivated patients. Number four, consultation reinvented. I'm sure you've conducted hundreds of new patient visits. But now, working in tandem with pre-education, the first consultation is vastly different and much more important. Instead of going straight to diagnosis and treatment recommendations, the consultation is a time for both you and the patient to determine if working together is the right fit. This means mastering the art of communication. When you stop talking like a doctor and start having a conversation with your prospects, which includes listening with empathy, true interest, and compassion, you'll experience a smooth transition from prospect to client. Number five, customized programs. Once a prospect has become a signed patient, you have an incredible opportunity to give them the attention, education, treatment, and results that the rigged model never gave you the opportunity to pursue. In that model, aside from the financial pressures that the big three placed on you, patients inevitably fell away from your treatment for two main reasons. One, lack of understanding and opportunities for education about their health. Two, too much focus on treatments instead of a well-articulated final destination. Creating customized programs that are time-based instead of offering a menu of treatments or services allows you to address these issues and give your patients incredible results and satisfaction and give you the revenue you deserve. Number six, build a superstar team. Whether you're currently a team of one or already have several employees, building a united, trustworthy team is essential to the success of a freedom practice. When you are not carrying the weight of the practice's success solely on your shoulders, but instead share the responsibilities and successes across a group, you create a self-propelled machine that can function at full capacity, whether you're in the office or not. This allows you the other piece of the equation, the freedom and ability to live your life. We encourage shorter work weeks, 8 weeks of vacation a year, and spending real time with your family. Your superstar team will keep everything running smoothly while you're away. Number seven, adopt and manage key performance indicators. As we've mentioned before, your practice is not just a medical service, it's a business. That means it needs to be run like a business too. One absolutely essential aspect of keeping a business afloat is knowing what your key performance indicators are. These are numbers that a business owner can consult to see in real time how the business is performing. Why is this so important? Because to be truly successful, you need to base your practice decisions on empirical evidence, not on emotion. If you don't know your monthly goals and the key indicators that measure achievement of those goals, broken down day by day, you're just sailing in the wind without a rudder. Chapter 4, pillar number 1, develop a growth mindset. When I say mindset, I'm talking about that voice in your head. The one that says, this isn't my fault, if only things weren't so hard. I'm stuck, but there's nothing I can do about it. How you frame your challenges is vastly indicative of how successful you'll be in combating them. If you're anything like the doctors I've met in my consultations, a poor or negative mindset is probably haunting you, even if you don't realize it. It's the leading cause of unresolved challenges in your practice, relationships, and personal growth. This is not an indictment of you as a person, but it reflects the thinking habits and worldviews that have rubbed off on you from your upbringing, education, and world of associations. What's your focus throughout your day? Do your thoughts breed confidence, clarity, and hope for a fantastic future, or do they induce stress and anxiety? The magic of mindset is that when you have complete control over your thoughts, you give yourself the ability to move through resistance or fear with confidence. The fact is, I've rarely met a highly successful person who didn't agree that working on one's thinking habits needs to be a top priority. After all, if you are unwilling to change your beliefs, you won't be able to change your behavior. I love teaching about mindset. It's had a great impact on both my business and personal life. One of the most empowering gifts I received from one of my mentors was this. Charlie, he said, The difference between those who earn their life dreams and those who don't is this: those who are willing to accept and embrace challenges and take action despite their fear will make it to the finish line. For the rest, they will try to find contentment sitting on the sidelines, succumbing to their fear, never to realize their dreams. I took this piece of wisdom seriously, and it's paid off. Since mastering my mindset, I don't let resistance or fear keep me from acting on my purpose. You too can use simple techniques and strategies to take extreme ownership of your thoughts so they never hold you back from what you should be doing. Because here's the thing. If you want to change your life and practice, if you're even the slightest bit interested in creating a freedom practice, you're going to have to take a risk. Step out into the darkness and do something different than you've ever done before. You're going to have to rock the boat. It sounds scary. Actually, it is scary. But I've never met a highly successful doctor, entrepreneur, or business owner who played it safe, who feared rocking the boat. And in every case, these successful people took time and effort to gain a leadership mindset before they took action. That mindset would motivate them to act when their less successful colleagues wouldn't. Where you stand at this point in life is exactly where you should be. It reflects the choices you've made along the way, actions you took, and actions you chose not to take. If your current situation is unacceptable and you know a more abundant life awaits you, you must change the way you are doing things. My team and I have coached 800 plus doctors over the years, and I can tell you that teaching these men and women to master their thoughts was essential to their confidence and their willingness to take action, regardless of their fear of the challenge. It's short and easy, and will help you see the following. The kind of mindset you have right now. The challenges that mindset presents. How to make the most of where you are in your journey and your best next steps to get ahead in your mindset journey. Your results will give you specific action steps for working on your mindset, no matter where you are, no matter where you are today, change is possible. The only thing stopping you from changing is you. Chapter 5, pillar number 2. Reinvent yourself as a category of one doctor. Do you ever feel like you're not just fighting the big three to stay afloat, but you are also having to battle with competitors? If you have competition in your practice niche or marketplace, that's a sign you're delivering a commodity. Let's see what you can do about that. Like what I discussed earlier, if patients view you as a necessary hurdle to receiving the treatment and services they want, you've become a commodity, one in a crowd who all do the same thing. To combat this sameness and the accompanying patient apathy, you've got to reinvent yourself as a category of one doctor, someone unique, who stands out because they're different, who stands out because they produce results, who stands out because they offer more than just treatments and services. You'll do this by upskilling and using business skills that deliver uncommon value to your prospective patients. This will distinguish you from your colleagues by the value you place on your guidance and expertise. Moreover, you will train your patients to recognize the value of hoped-for destinations. If several or more doctors in your community offer services similar to yours, what differentiates you from them? Why would prospective patients who seek healthcare support choose you over these other practitioners? Is it your location? Or maybe more referrals? Yes, those might be factors. But if there's no major league distinction, you're still a commodity doctor. Patients perceive that your value lies in your services and products rather than your expertise. Now, you might say, but I'm among the most talented doctors in my field. This could be true. You might also be top-ranked in your community by your peers. But how would your prospective patients know that? After all, it's usually only other practitioners who know of your skills. And if you are the most talented, does your talent lie in your expertise in delivering treatments? If so, you're assigning value to the deliverable. That's on par with deliverable colleagues who deliver the same treatments but with lesser expertise. Deliverables don't distinguish themselves. Specific treatments come with commodity pricing, regardless of the expertise used in delivery. That's why you shouldn't place all your value on your treatments, services, or supplements. If you want to step out and separate yourself from the herd, you need to place more value on your expertise and how that expertise can empower your patients to reach their hoped-for destinations. This means you must become more than a doctor acting as a director of services and treatments. Yes, you must still be an excellent diagnostician and knowledgeable about the best treatment approaches, but you must also become a mentor or guide. Your community residents are begging for a guide who will help them with their current health challenges. But more than that, they need to be empowered to control their own lives. You can do this through education and customized programs that go above and beyond what they would get at any other practice. Adopting category of one practice skills is how I, along with over 800 FPC clients, have built freedom practices without competition worries. Competition doesn't exist when you raise your stature to the category of one level. Patients see their FPC doctors as a different breed. They recognize value in the guidance they receive. Please understand that a person who becomes the patient of an FPC doctor already sees a commodity doctor, maybe even several of them. Such doctors might include a GP, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, and so on. They can help within their niche. Yet the patient still works separately with an FPC doctor, pays cash for the opportunity, and never thinks of it as a medical expense. That same patient will often complain about the smallest co-pays for commodity doctor visits. So, what's the difference? Patients of FPC doctors are hungry for knowledge, guidance, and empowerment, and they're getting this delivered. They're not enjoying those benefits from their commodity doctors. Stay with me to further understand how you can create your ideal patient. Chapter 6, pillar number 3, create your ideal patient. Stop for a minute and think about your current favorite patient. Why are they so special to you? Aside from personality traits, my guess is that your favorite patient meets a few criteria. They are motivated to follow your advice. They actively follow their treatment plan. They ask you important, thoughtful questions, and they respect your knowledge. They come on time and don't miss appointments. They take you seriously. What would your practice be like if all of your patients were exactly like that? And while we're daydreaming, what would it be like if you had a steady, predictable stream of more patients like that coming in every month? Maybe it sounds too good to be true, but it's not. Up to now, you've probably gotten most of your patients through insurance. While it may be nice not to have to worry about attracting new patients, you're also stuck with the kind of patients that insurance attracts. Individuals with the mindset of choosing a doctor just because they can get services for a pittance. That doesn't promise a committed and accountable patient. Once you set yourself apart as a category of one doctor, it's time to attract the patients who are in greatest need and will be the most successful with the premium caliber mentorship that you offer. These are people that see your expertise and guidance as the unique value you deliver, are willing to invest their own money to hire you, are willing to co-labor and commit to doing their part so they can reach their health destination. If you don't think that there are people in your community like that, don't worry. It's true that most believe in seeing a doctor only when they have symptoms. After all, that's what the word patient reflects, someone who has symptoms or has been diagnosed with a condition. And it's a doctor's job to treat patients. Further, because people in your community have been trained to expect you to fix them so they can get on with their lives, it makes you responsible for their health. It means dependency rather than self-responsibility. Co-laboring in their own care and changing their lifestyle habits barely crosses their minds. What a cramped mindset. To combat this, the Freedom Practice model employs a very powerful tool, pre-education. And this is an opportunity to educate the people in the community about what healthcare really should be and to explain how you, as a category of one doctor, can help them not just get treatments for their symptoms, but also guide them through a journey that ends in a destination of health and happiness. Before we talk about pre-education, though, let's dive a little bit more into the psyche of your community members and how to overcome their preconceived notions about healthcare. Client versus patient. Since the use of the word patient implies a less than ideal mindset, from almost every angle, from now on, I'll refer to those who work with you as our clients' practice. That's what we call them at FPC, and it matters. It's a first step in breaking traditional molds in the minds of patients and doctors. Client represents someone who seeks your professional help to better themselves. They don't just have you fix them when they're broken. Client also implies an exchange of value, a worthwhile cash investment for the guidance received. Qualifications for insurance coverage play no role here. Chapter 7, pillar number 4, the consultation reinvented. Once you've taken your prospects through a pre-education event, whether live or online, your consultation slots will be booked with individuals who are much more inclined and willing to follow your long-term recommendations and invest financially into their health. Once you've taken your prospects through a pre-education event, whether live or online, your consultation slots will be booked with individuals who are much more inclined and willing to follow your long-term recommendations and invest financially into their health. Now it's time to do your job and effectively communicate with your prospect to determine if working with you is the right fit, and vice versa. It's important to remember that not everyone that schedules a consultation will be the right fit. There are some whom you cannot take to their perceived destination of health. Perhaps they have neglected their health for too many years, and you just don't feel you can help, at least not at the level of their expectations. There are others that, after discussing your recommendations, simply aren't ready to make the lifestyle commitment. That's okay. The majority will be willing to move forward as long as you do your job. This means mastering the art of communication. When you stop talking like a doctor and start having a conversation with your prospects, which includes listening, empathy, true interest, and compassion, you'll experience a smooth transition from prospect to client. If you fail to do your job, that prospect walks out your door without getting the guidance they so badly need and consequently returns to their challenges. Everyone loses. With stakes like this, it's no wonder you need to become a master communicator. One master communicator whom I've learned from is Chris Voss. A former FBI hostage negotiator, he completely understands how effective communication can be a matter of life and death. I found his book, Never Split the Difference, so effective and compelling that I actually ask all FPC clients to read it. Here's a quick overview. During his initial training, Chris realized that his fellow negotiators understood the psyche well, but weren't measuring the effectiveness of their communication. None of them seemed to have a step-by-step process to follow to give them an advantage in securing the hostage. Chris looked at negotiation much like a chess game. He knew that if he understood the language of chess more than the hostage taker, he could always anticipate his moves, stay one step ahead, and eventually checkmate. Because he simply couldn't accept losing someone, he took it on himself to take extreme ownership and become a master negotiator or communicator. By sacrificing time to learn effective communication, he saved many lives and became the FBI's number one negotiator. After reading this book for the first time, I chose to take on the same responsibility as Chris did. I looked at those who came to me hoping for a better life, just like he looked at the hostage. If I failed to communicate and they walked out my door, then it was on me. No, thank you, not on my watch. These individuals scheduled to consult with me after first attending one of my events. They became well aware of my intention to empower them to take back their health rather than manage their current state of less than optimal health. They understood my approach was different, and they were excited about this, even though they would be required to make lifestyle changes. They knew insurance wouldn't cover their health program, yet they came. Why? Because they saw me as a different doctor, as a trusted guide, and not the same old commodity practitioner. They scheduled their consultation to get my help, not to kick tires and think about it. My job was simple. Don't mess it up by talking doctor talk. I learned through years of study and over 5,000 consultations the science of communication that would lead the vast majority of my prospects to accept my offer of help. My prospects never felt like they were being sold to, but rather that they saw it as a priceless opportunity. At FPC, our clients have extensive training in the art of communication and follow the exact step-by-step process I put together after 8 years of refinement and iterations. Because of this, the majority of people who seek our clients' help accept their recommendations and commit to their care. This is not difficult, but it requires a willingness to learn the process and implement it properly. Choose to wing it, and you'll continue to struggle. Professionals don't wing it, they prepare. Your prospective clients will know whether you're an amateur or a professional very quickly by the way you converse with them. If you become a client, we got you. If not, begin with Chris's book as your foundation and build on this. Please take this very seriously. Without this skill, you'll never help as many people as you should. Chapter 8, pillar number 5, customized programs. An essential part of ensuring your new client's success is how you offer them your services. As we discussed in Chapter 5, your value isn't in your treatments, services, or supplements. Rather, your value is giving a client the mentoring experience they need to reach their desired health destination. This experience will, of course, include tests, treatments, supplements, and services that you offer, but will go far beyond that. Consider those features as the plane ride to get to the desired destination. The plane ride is necessary, but not the highlight of the trip. By creating customized programs that are all-inclusive and time-based, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, etc., instead of treatment-based service, you offer the client the chance to focus on what's most important, co-laboring with you to achieve their optimal health. This is in contrast to creating an expectation that if they cherry-pick enough single services, or even buy a punch card for 20 treatments for the price of 15, that they will automatically get better with no extra effort on their part. Let's talk more in-depth about how this works. Let's say a 46-year-old female, Sarah, comes into your office with a barrage of symptoms, including fatigue, depression, weight gain, chronic inflammation, and decreased libido. Understand that Sarah isn't in your office only to remove some of her symptoms. She is secretly looking for someone who can help her get her life back. She wants to feel pretty, to have confidence, to have intimacy with her husband, and to play volleyball with her daughter. She wants to become a super mom or super wife. This is her hoped-for destination. She has less interest in specific treatments you might offer. She just wants to depart from her current sad state and arrive at her hoped-for destination of super mom, super wife. Her destination, we'll call it Fiji, is where she would find great value and be willing to invest to get there. If you hand her a menu of your treatments, she will walk out of your office saying, "I'll have to think about it." Why? Because she sees your offer not as an investment, but as an expense that she can't justify. You tried to sell her the plane ride instead of the destination she is hoping for. What do your patient clients really care about? Let's take this example further. If I should happen to refer Sarah to 10 different practices that have extremely competent doctors who offer slightly different approaches, she will likely receive up to 10 different recommendations. They might involve different protocols or treatments, supplements, and so on. As long as each of the 10 practitioners also addresses Sarah's personal responsibilities towards her daily lifestyle, she will likely reach Fiji, even though each doctor chose a somewhat different course or plane ride. After all, it's possible for different approaches to help people reach the same health goals. So you need to ask yourself, do my clients care what my specific treatments are, or are they only interested in getting to Fiji? I hope your ego doesn't get bruised, but the correct answer is they just want to get to Fiji. They don't care how your airline gets them there. So why attach all your value to your services, the plane ride? Heck, the plane ride to Fiji is only $800, but the trip itself is worth $9,000. Chapter 9, pillar number 6, build a superstar team. A huge aspect of the freedom practice doesn't take place in the work you do in your practice. Rather, it's what your freedom practice gives back to you. Time. As mentioned earlier, we encourage all our FPC clients to shorten their work week from 5 days to no more than 4 and to take significant vacation time throughout the year. We want you home at a reasonable hour, ready to participate in your life, spend time with friends, attend your kids' games and concerts, and take up a hobby. This is the life you deserve. But Charlie, I can hear you say, if I'm not in the office, how will I earn enough money to survive? If I cut back to a 4-day work week, won't that reduce my profits by 20%? In short, the answer is no. In addition to switching to customized programs and attracting the right kind of patients, having a superstar team in place will ensure that your practice will earn more income in 4 days than it currently earns in 5, even if you're volunteering at the third grade field trip or away for the week in the Canary Islands. Now, a superstar team doesn't just come together by accident. Most practitioners feel like they need to be the driving force inside the practice. Hold the weight of the practice's success solely on their shoulders. And while it is important, essential even, that you are a leader, if your business constantly depends on your physical presence, you'll be stuck in a glorified job forever. Instead, you need to develop and train each member of your team to run your practice as if it's their own. To do this, you will need to think about your team strategically. As the owner, it's your job to not just fill open positions, but to devote time, energy, and heart into nurturing, training, and rewarding your team. Doing this will help you create a unified team that's invested in the success of the practice. Hiring. It never fails to amaze me how many prospective clients insist it's just too difficult to find the right staff. To get to their core concerns, I ask them these simple questions. What is your hiring process? How many steps must an applicant go through? What specific tests do you give them? Which team members conduct the interview process? Think through this with me. You are still here consuming the knowledge on this audiobook because you've come to the point of recognizing that trying to go it alone is not a wise path. You need a coach. So, you begin your journey of finding the right coach, mentor, or expert whom you resonate with and who has a proven track record. In fact, you are doing your research right now as you listen to this guide on building a freedom practice. You will likely check out our site, freedompracticecoaching.com, and perhaps Google our reviews or check us out on Facebook. We hope you do. Just as you research us, are you putting the time in to properly evaluate your prospect? Hires properly. Do you have a system in place for this to help ensure the right hire? Do you expect a return on your investment with your new hire? If you don't know how to hire, and if you don't have an exact blueprint or formula for this. You're likely to make mistakes. Considering the time it takes to onboard a new team member and the investment required to bring them up to speed, you'll best want to reduce your risk of bringing on the wrong person. No hiring formula equates to headaches, stagnated growth, and potential losses. In summary, do your due diligence in educating yourself on the hiring process. At FPC, we train our clients on a proven system that takes the guesswork out of it. The right hire equates to a healthy ROI, whereas the less than desirable hire creates a negative ROI and opportunity costs. Training. Once you've hired a new employee, it's essential that you not only train them for their role in your office, but also for their career. This should include online training for each team member, manuals with detailed instructions about their responsibilities, ongoing weekly team trainings, special training and team building events. And if you want to develop an A player and keep them for life, you must offer them the opportunity and training for both personal and career growth. If you're not training them and giving them the chance to better themselves, they will eventually leave you to find an employer who will. You should give them the chance to grow themselves as they help you grow your business. Chapter 10, pillar number 7, adopt and manage. Key performance indicators. Imagine an NFL coach walking onto the field, not knowing anything about their players. No individual stats, overall play stats, or anything about the other team. It's not hard to imagine that this team would likely lose, all because their leader failed to do their job. Why? Because knowing the numbers is half the battle. If the coach didn't know the team's key statistics, what would likely happen if they ran a certain play with a certain group of players? It would be like playing catch in the dark. They'd be depending completely on luck. The same goes for you. Without key performance indicators, there's no way to track your progress. You'll have nothing to rely on but luck when making important business decisions and will likely never achieve your goals, but instead stay stuck, spinning your wheels, going nowhere. Manage your business with empirical, measurable evidence. Your practice is a business. If you are in business to make a profit, a substantial profit, every critical decision must be based on empirical, measurable evidence. Otherwise, you'll find yourself on a roller coaster, first up, then down. A great month, then a bad month. This leads to emotional turmoil and lost profits. It does nothing but promote insanity and instability. If you run your business using key statistics, you can expect to continue an upward trajectory without the emotional roller coaster ride. Let me cite an example of a few statistics you should use within your practice. Let's start with your monthly revenue goal. Hopefully, you're starting your month with at least this one number. In our example, let's propose your goal for this month to be $90,000. How are you going to ensure you hit this? What information will you need to give you the best chance of reaching that number? Here are a few of the key statistics you will need. Average case value per client, average acquisition cost to gain a new client, average close rate per new prospect to become a new client, number of new consultations required to hit the goal, number of working days in the month, and average collections required per working day. These are just a handful of KPIs you should be tracking. As you can see, with this kind of information, we don't enter each new month banking on hope, but with solid plans that break down what we need to carry out daily. Such daily implementation and action leads to hitting your goals. You get little or no value or useful planning from waiting until the end of the month to review your numbers. So, my question to you is this: how many of these critical stats are you now using in your practice? Personally, I could never have built my practices or the business I currently have without being guided by the right numbers. I don't let emotions make my decisions, nor do our clients. Each FPC client is working with our coaches weekly, coaches who've been in the trenches, who review their clients' stats every single week. Because we guarantee our fee based on your performance and growth, we treat you and your practice as if it's our own. We keep our fingers on the pulse of your practice at all times by knowing your key stats and using them to guide you into consistent, steady growth. You thus avoid the pitfalls that always trap those who attempt to build their businesses without using key data. Chapter 11, your challenge. So there you have it, the seven pillars for building a freedom practice. I know it's a lot of information to cover in one sitting, but we've only scratched the surface of what's possible. These pillars likely introduced you to new ideas and different ways of thinking and acting in your practice than you've encountered before. I commend you on your open-mindedness and willingness to explore these different but immensely rewarding ideas. Following these seven pillars takes hard work and dedication, but I have seen that work pay off for myself and for more than 800 practitioners across the country and the world. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. You don't have to stay in the realm of the unacceptable. That's why I created Freedom Practice Coaching, to help talented, selfless practitioners like you get out of the desert and into the realm of prosperity and satisfaction that they deserve. Will it be 2 times or 10 times? Let's say I challenged you to double your practice in the next 3 years. If the reward for accomplishing the goal was motivating enough, chances are you would figure out a way to do it, even under the limitations of the rigged model. You'd likely see more patients, double up on services, and work more hours. Not much fun to think about, but doable. But if I instead challenged you to 10 times your practice in the next 3 years, you'd likely raise your hands in surrender and declare, "I can't imagine how to do it." I can teach you how to imagine it and how to do it, and with less stress and strain than your 2-time solution would demand. If you're ready to open your imagination to 10 times, I am here to help. Freedom Practice Coaching is here to help. Now that you know about the freedom practice and your opportunity to have one, your challenge is this. What will you do about it? Will you take the first step in the pre-qualification process? Pre-qualification helps to ensure you have an ample amount of knowledge regarding our freedom model. These steps will enable you to better understand what our journey will look like together and whether this resonates with you. On our side, it will allow us to determine if you're the right fit for freedom practice coaching. The journey to a freedom practice is not easy. It takes unwavering purpose, perseverance, and grit. Savvy entrepreneurs live by these virtues. We are not just interested in your practice growth. We're also interested in your personal development. It requires both to earn your freedom. Now that you've made it to the end of this book, you've earned my respect. Understand, many want to change their practice, but few take even the first step necessary to get there. You just completed your first step. Congratulations. I hope to personally speak to you soon, to your freedom. Thanks for listening. For more information, visit www.freedompracticecoaching.com.